Lisa wants to hear from you. Call her at 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show is on WICC 600.
I just heard from a listener confirming that Stanford Hospital will give you that second appointment when you sign up for your first. They're the only independent hospital left in our region, so you can call them, and that's what they're happy to do for you. And I'm told they have a very, very efficient rollout. They do a very good job. So that we know is Yale, New Haven, and Stanford. There may be others that guarantee you the first, that the second shot appointment with your first. And if you get that, you know, it alleviates a lot of your concern about the whole thing. It's worth doing. 203-333-9422. Joining us now is Kimberly Friedmutter. She's written a book called Subconscious Power, Use Your Inner Mind to Create the Life You've Always Wanted. She herself is a talk radio host, and she's been a hypnotherapist for many years. And she really believes that it's the things that we don't necessarily think that control us, that really do control us. And maybe we can conquer some of our fears and anxieties by realizing that. Kimberly, welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, honey. How are you?
I'm good. So first of us, explain to us, really, give us a little bit of a primer on the difference between conscious and subconscious and how our subconscious controls our behavior.
Well, we all got a little taste of our subconscious feelings and that part of the mind in 2020 when we were scared, you know, every day just about what was happening. And, you know, obviously the conversation's still continuing today about where to get the shot. Do we get the second shot? On and on. And
right. You
can see that, you know, deep down inside, we are nervous about it. Just the idea, you know, of like you said, the anxiety caused by, am I getting the second shot? You know, like we haven't had enough on our plate. The conscious mind is our daily task doer, our calendar keeper, the part of us that listens to the news and assesses things. But the subconscious mind, beneath the conscious mind, so there's conscious and then just below subconscious, is where all of those fears, emotions, the touchy-feely part of us, our belief systems, our faith, all of those things. And what happens is that's the part of us that really takes in the information. So yes, you might consciously hear something, but it settles and sits in the subconscious. Hence, when you have dreams in the night, you know, you might have a nightmare or be bothered by something deeply. That's the subconscious mind. So we really, really, really want to pay attention to that because that's where addiction is. That's where, you know, upset, depression, all those things. It's also where, this is the good news part, where our accelerated performance lives. So you'll see with the book that I have quotes from Martha Stewart, Jennifer Hudson, Mike Tyson, on and on, high performers who really want to have mind expansion and accelerate to that next level. So it's also very much responsible for your performance. If a child has failure to launch issues, or if, you know, someone has self-sabotaging, you know, recurrences, all of those things sit deep within the subconscious. So that's the part that makes you, you. So the difference between Lisa and Kimberly is really in our subconscious.
All right, let me ask you about this. We're chatting with Kimberly Friedmutter. So let me ask you something. What if I have a person dear to me, important to me, that has an addiction, and that person acknowledges the addiction on the outside, you know, just, you know, acknowledges the addiction, but doesn't want to change his or her behavior about the addiction. Is there a language that I can use to reach that person's subconscious?
Yes, because the nature is on your side with that. What happens is our prime directive of the subconscious mind is survival. So even the most ensconced and deepest addict, even the person who may consciously say, you know, I really like myself like this, or I really need this, or I'm going to continue to do this, or worse, they don't say it. They just keep doing the behavior, right? So
no, but they might say it. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, so there's two types. There's the type that say it, and then there's the type that, you know, they don't say it. So either way, but the thing is that the subconscious is always for your survival. This is the part of you that makes you breathe. This is the part of you, you know, you can't drown yourself without like an apparatus, something to weight you down. Why? Because the subconscious has you popping up for air. You can't strangle yourself without a ligature or something because the subconscious won't allow you to do it. So your prime directive, and those are extreme examples, but just for the point, is that your subconscious is always on the side of your survival. So that actually is the place that addiction sits. That is the place to get rid of those things. Because what happens is the consciousness is, oh yeah, you know, I'm fine. This is how I need to function. It's actually like a misfire. The conscious is fooled. The subconscious never fooled. I mean, it's always on your side. So
what language,
is,
so tell me the language, let's say the addiction, I'm going to make something up. Gambling. Let's say it's gambling. I'm just making it up. Let's say it's gambling.
Perfect.
How do you speak to somebody in the language if the person says, oh, yeah, I like to gamble, you know, and I blah, 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 blah. But it's let's say, demonstrably gone too far, right? Like it's causing other consequences in someone's life, whatever. How
right.
do you reach the person? What do you say?
So what I would do, being a hypnotherapist, is I would put them in trance, excuse me, which is, by the way, a natural state. So that's daydreaming. That's the feeling you feel right before you fall asleep and right before you wake up. I would put them in trance, and I would start talking to the subconscious. One of my favorite ways is an away from response to whatever that thing is that's causing a problem. So, for example, it's gambling. So what I do in trance with my clients is I put them, you know, out so they're relaxed. And I'm strictly, and all relaxed means, and all trance means is that deep, deep state of relaxation. So you're breathing, you're fine. In my office, I have a zero gravity chair so you can't feel your body. I have a mind fold on you. I've basically blocked out all your senses. So you're just in deep rest because you don't want that conscious interference. That's the chatty part of us. So what the client would do then is just lay and listen in that relaxed state. And what I would start with is the away from response of like light versus dark, color versus black and white, tastes good versus tastes bad, smells good versus smells bad. And you start to create this difference between the two and you widen the chasm as you go. So in other words, gambling and addiction, you paint this, you know, terrible picture. I mean, I focus a lot with eating addictions and drinking and things like that. Being in Las Vegas, of course, I see a lot of gambling addiction. But what I do is I make it like Zombie Island. Those people over there that do this are over on Zombie Island. The people that you want to be with are over here, and I dress them in white. I put them on the beach, you know, all depending on what the person finds aesthetically pleasing. And this I know before I go in and do it. And you widen that chasm so that all of a sudden gambling, and not necessarily all of a sudden, you know, they don't necessarily pop up and go, oh my gosh, but within a few sessions, all of a sudden the gambling for some reason doesn't appeal anymore. You can do this with chocolate, with bread, with alcohol, with drugs. You can do it with anything. You can do in a way response from a person if this person is with someone who's, you know, not ecological for them. So you can see that you create this away from response from the bad thing or the thing that's causing disruption in the life and a toward response to the thing that's healthy.
So are you literally, like if it's smell, are you literally asking them in a response, does this smell good? Does this smell bad? Like, I'm not understanding
no,
what you
no.
mean by it.
So no. Let's just take food, for example. I mean, I would make
okay.
a smell for the gambling, but let's just take food for listeners because it's super easy. So food, for example, is and this just works great. I don't mind sharing, is I have the person in, you know, let's say that they're unhealthily overweight and they'd like to lose weight and they'd like to make better choices in food. We know that's the way, right? So I would dress them in white. Imagine yourself on a white sandy beach. You feel the air blowing through your hair. You feel the smells of the ocean. It's so beautiful. You feel so clean. You're dressed in, you know, tight white pants and a tight white shirt. You know, just say it's a female of your choosing, whatever. And you're running and it feels so good to be alive. You feel the breath, all of this, right? So you're drawing the picture. Then you see on a pier in front of you, you see beautiful lights, people laughing. you know, they're all beautiful. Look at the food. Ooh, what are they eating? Let's go explore. Let's see. And you start to then describe the foods and the beverages that they're eating and drinking. Then you're going to walk further along the beach and, oh my goodness, the clouds are starting to come in. What is that that we see out in the water? It's bobbing around. I don't know. It's dark. It looks like something's moving on it. Is that alive? I don't know. The smell is so bad. It smells like rotten food. It smells like da-da-da. What is it? Can we look closer? Oh my gosh, the gnashing teeth, the dirty mouths. It looks like it's like tar. What are they eating? Ooh, it's cheese. It's bread. It's, you know, and you go on and on and on. It's dark. It stinks so bad. I can't wait to turn around and run back into the sun, back into the light. Oh, there are the people on the deck. I see them now. Oh, there's, you know, my friends are there. My family's there. The people that they love, the lights, the brights, all the things. Everything is good. What are they eating? Oh, it feels so good to eat the fresh food, you know, blah, 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 blah. So you go on and on through this. Now, what that does to the psyche is it starts to see those foods and attach those smells and sounds and looks to it. So the next time you look at cake, the next time you look at a potato, white potato, or whatever, you know, you're trying to, I know the list by the time we start, you know, I have the, what's your problem foods, what's your problem drink, you know, what the issues are, the presenting issues. And so all of those things, I mean, you should see what I can do with cheese. I'm a master of cheese. And so all of those things. But here's the beauty of it. For the end user experience is they just go, I don't feel like cheese. I don't want the cake. They don't go, oh, cake, and run out the door, right? Or run for cover, there's cake. What happens is it's very simple. We call it a soft protocol because that's the part of us. You know, we're all adults, and it's inside of us to know better and to do better. And so that survival part kicks in. I mean, my major partner in my career is the universe, because that the way the brain is functioning works to my benefit in this. It wants you to survive. It wants you to thrive. It wants you happy. So we're already, we're like releasing the blockages as opposed to having to push the system forward. You see, I'm just literally like raising the dam, letting that water flow through.
As I'm listening to you, we're chatting with Kimberly Friedmutter, and the book is called Subconscious Power, Use Your Inner Mind to Create the Life You've Always Wanted. As I'm listening to you, it almost seems as if it's worthless to do any cognitive conscious mind therapy at all, because unless you wrestle with what your subconscious really wants and you get out of your own way, then all the talking at your conscious mind is just going to be that the resistance of the subconscious is so much stronger than the conscious will.
And the drive to be better is so much stronger in the subconscious. You know, I mean, here's a perfect example. We're going to lunch with the girls. The first one says, I'm going to have wine. Does anybody want wine? Everybody goes, wine, and raises their hand, right? And so if someone didn't say that, then, you know, you wouldn't necessarily sit down and say, oh, I'm going to order wine. I mean, it's so perfectly put the way you put it, because we are about the chatter and the noise. That's just how we are. And so literally the book was conceived by the idea of turning down that conscious mind, turning down the volume of that chatter and that cackle, and raising the volume on your own internal GPS. That's the whole impetus of the book, because that's where your truth is. That's where your alignment is. You know how people say, oh, I don't really like to drink alone. You know, I don't like to eat, you know, that kind of food. It's only fun if we're celebrating or if y'all are here, it's a special occasion or whatever, right? That's because of conscious integration, not subconscious, I want to survive. So especially, I'm working now on a health and fitness book, you know, directly related to this, specific to this issue, because health and fitness does start from your mindset. And, you know, we've heard it and talk, just like you mentioned, over and over and over again. But to really get it and to really get the whole nuance of the village and how, you know, eating, you don't eat it, you don't love me, you know, all these things that we're raised with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, food. Who doesn't have food issues? Kimberly, who doesn't have food issues?
Right.
Really?
Therefore, my career is sustainable.
Oh, totally. But I got to ask you one other thing, though. So I'm listening to you and I'm hearing that the way you access a subconscious mind is via hypnosis, and you've got this book, but tell our listeners how we can access subconscious minds. I'm going to go back to the question of having a conversation with someone else. If I'm not hypnotizing somebody, but I care about them, whether it's an eating disorder or whether it's a gambling disorder or drug disorder, Is there a way that I can use some magic words so that their subconscious will listen to me even as their conscious tunes me out?
Yes, I know that deep down you want to survive. I know that deep down you want to be this person XYZ, you know, and always having someone move toward the target. We don't use the away from thing, you know, with people. I know, like, let's just say it's about money and performance. You wouldn't say to somebody, you'd say, don't you want to, you know, live this luxurious life? You wouldn't say, don't you want to, you know, not be impoverished, right? Don't you want to not, you never want to knock them. You always want to have, you know, the, like, think of the donkey or the mule with the carrot in front. You always want to have someone moving toward their target. That's key. So I know that you want to do better. I know that you want to. So it's aspirational. That's what moves people the most. I do have a chapter in the book called Toward or Away, and that's about our trajectory. People don't talk enough about it. You know, if you find yourself unhappy in any way, shape, or form, look and see if you're running away from things. And I don't mean running, but like moving from town to town, job to job, mate to mate, things like that, or even emotion to emotion, rather than moving toward that which you desire. So that would be the biggest thing I could share with you, is to have that person moving toward the thing that they want. So you would say, wouldn't you like this? I know deep inside this is what you want. Always toward the target that helps them.
That I'm going to have to write down to remember. So if you're talking with a friend and the issue of sadness is about the lack of a real relationship, or they avoid relationships, or they can't commit to relationships, you could say to them, I know that deep down you want to be loved. And that will access the subconscious.
And that you want to be mated. Yeah, that you want to mate.
And that you want to be mated.
That you want relationship. Yeah, because first of all, that's our natural way. So if these were animals and not people we were talking about, a scientist would tag the ear of that one animal that didn't seek out a mate and send it to the lab and draw its blood and see what's wrong with it. That's another approach you can use.
That's very interesting.
More aggressive. But the thing is that it's true. So because we're people, we tiptoe around the subject, but there is something off about someone who's not seeking out matehood. There just is something, you know, that's twisted there, and not necessarily in a, you know, down negative way, but in an left of center way. And so that is a thing. It is our natural compass to seek out a mate, if nothing more. And this doesn't mean to necessarily procreate, if nothing more for companionship. Why? Yeah. Because we're pack driven. There's something wrong with the animal that doesn't go into the pack and that goes away. I deal with this with, you know, adolescents a lot. I deal with this with, you know, children who, again, are failure to launch. They move away from the pack. And I think, boy, if you were in a herd, we'd tag your ear and we'd take you to the lab and draw your blood. It's very interesting that way. You know, Jackie Siegel and I are doing a podcast soon called Kimberly and the Queen. That's the Queen of Versailles, you'll know from the documentary. And she and I are going to, you know, have a lot of these topics. She has the herd and I have the knowledge. So we're going to approach a lot of these topics in our upcoming podcast. Yeah.
Very good. Wow.
Kimberly,
you're a lot of
fun
to talk to.
The book addresses all of these things, by the way. You know, it is about self-hypnosis. The book isn't about myself and my private practice. It really is about how to utilize that part of you. And now that it's in paperback, it's so easy just to grab. Retailers anywhere, online anywhere and everywhere.
It's sold
out so many times.
Very nice book. It's a wonderful book.
Thank you.
It's easy. It's not long.
No,
and it's got a lot of bullet points in it. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's right. It's called Subconscious Power. Use your inner mind to create the life you've always wanted. And the author is Kimberly Friedmutter, Friedmutter. And you can find it anywhere. And it's good.
Yes, anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, these superstars really write about it in the sense that they get it. You know, people say sometimes, oh, why do you, you know, pay so much attention to celebrities and high performers and all this kind of thing in sessions? And I say, because they're the ones with the imagination. They really already are used to taking direction. They're used to seeking out experts. They're used to enhanced performance. And that's where we all are. Whether you have an addiction or whether it's every day, there's a great chapter in there about drought, which is lack and depression. That is a lifesaver, that chapter. So anyone, it's for all genders, all ages. There isn't anyone who doesn't have a subconscious and should really, really, really learn to use it.
This has been really helpful. I really like this conversation, Kimberly. Thank you,
honey. It's so nice to speak with you again. I appreciate
me
it.
Too.
You know, I say if you have a brain, you're in the game. I mean, everyone has this. It's, you know, women sometimes like to you know, corner the term and, you know, women's intuition and all this kind of thing. But the reality is that everyone has it. It's a matter of just tapping into it. And let me tell you, when I said to Simon & Schuster, I can't possibly give people one more thing to do. I really wasn't interested in putting a book out because it just seemed like, you know, there's so many. And so what happened was we decided that it would be written in such a way that it's giving you 1,000 less things to do. My purpose was to make it easier. We're all over consciously stimulated. So when you read it, your life will just be more fun and it'll be easier.
No, that's true. We are overly. That's why I've started to do meditation about 2 years ago. And when I skip a day, I notice the difference. And that was a thing that I knew was missing because I never had any kind of ADD until I got my iPhone, and I've noticed my brain really doesn't have the attention span it used to have. I don't think it's a function of age. I think it's a function of technology, and meditation slows me down, and I needed to be slowed down.
Yes, because actually your brain grows. And so there's a thing that I'm using. I don't have any affiliation with it in any way other than just I enjoy it, called Brain HQ. And it's what Tom Brady uses. And I love it because it grows your brain. I mean, look, here's the thing. You can either go down with the ship or you can keep it floating and keep those engines moving. And so I choose the latter. I see you choose the latter. You know what to do. That call for meditation was the call for you. But what's key, Lisa, is that you listen to it, and then you took action. You did it, right? So people know what they're supposed to do. Just like, you know, talking about that example with addiction, people know. We all, I mean, thank God we're designed that way, that our brain is for us. Our mind is for us.
Yeah.
So we're already moving.
It's so
in the
interesting.
Right.
No, you're right. When you say people know what to do, of course, they don't always do it. But I have known for a long time that I needed to start exercising, right? And I've had a lot of excuses not to do it. And it's been wonderfully wonderful to have all my excuses not to do it. And I'm going to tell you what triggered me to do it. And it's never one thing with me. It's always a combination of factors. It was three things. I was watching James Corden's show the other night, his wonderful Late, Late, Late show. And he asked a variety of celebrities, a whole bunch of them, but particularly Meryl Streep stuck in my head. I can't remember any of the rest. Exercise, is it worth it? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no? And and he had like 10 questions for everyone, and everyone had a multitude of different answers about everything. But on exercise, all these people said yes. So that really triggered something in me. It's like all these people that I might admire to some extent, and they were older, not just younger, they all said exercise, is it worth it? Yes. That stuck in my head. Then what stuck in my head, that was survival. Then what stuck in my head is I have a dear friend. She might as well be like a younger sister who just turned 60, just turned 50. And she's running a 6.2 mile, whatever run. And she had been very overweight her whole life, but she took these 6 months of COVID and she's not that much more underweight, but she's fit. She's fit and she's running. And she looks fabulous. Her skin looks great. She looks fantastic. She's strong. She's happier. She took this COVID depression. She lives in Israel where they will lock down. They were getting tickets if they walked more than 50 feet from their front door in Israel. I mean, they took it really seriously. And so anyway, so she decided to exercise. So that was number two. And number three was my kids bought a Peloton. And they said, we can make you a family member, Lisa, you know, your mommy. We can make you a family member and you can get all these wonderful classes for free simply by going online. Do you know it's Friday? I've done 6 classes this week since Monday. Every morning I wake up and I'm only doing 20 minutes, but I'm really happy. Kim, I'm really happy.
And that's really all you need. And you feel, don't you feel your brain chemistry change? I mean, it's such an accomplishment. Good for you.
But it took three things, but it was my subconscious drive for survival because inside me, I know that I'm not fit. I know it.
Yes, Yes. And so, right. And also that chasm between being disappointed in yourself where we feel bad, that's the exact same, like that sadness or depression or anything that overcomes us that we just feel like, oh my gosh, I can't get out of my own way. That's the exact degree of the amount of slack you give yourself. So you know that you're supposed to be performing at this level. You know that you're performing at a level below that. And that chasm right there is what I call sadness, depression, malaise, all of those things. I just finished an airing of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and the ladies, the same kind of thing, you know, they came in and they were, and all upset and everything. Of course, you have to start from somewhere. And by the time they left, they were just jumping and, you know, skipping on out of here and everybody ready to get fit and healthy and all of that. And that's what
that's
it
good.
Does because we're
that
just
is
getting
what it
out
does.
Of our way.
Right, getting out of our way. Kim, I got to run. I'm late with breaks. I miss the commercials. You're a doll. Kimberly Friedmutter, author of Subconscious Power, Use Your Inner Mind to Create the Life You've Always Wanted. You have to come back on the show again. Love having
Thanks,
you all.
Mom.
Fantastic. All right, listen, have a great weekend. We'll be back behind the mic on Monday.